Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. We'll have Steve Geller join us at 5:45 for our Bet 365 triple option. At 4:20, the newest member of New Orleans Saints and on the offensive side of the football, Equanimeous Brown joins us, wide out, former Notre Dame wide out, and played with the Packers and the Bears, and now with the Saints. They were looking for a big kind of target receiver that can run those patterns inside, and Equanimeous fits the build. He's a big receiver. We'll get to talk to him a little after 4:20 about his career, why he selected the Saints. Also, too, Charlie and I were talking about that, about his brother, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he's really been a breakout player in the NFL over the last 2 years. California guy, goes to Notre Dame, Equanimeous, and so we'll get to talk to him about his NFL career, college career, and his dad. I remember his dad, bodybuilder John Brown. He was, he was one of the first to kind of break that ground here. Did a lot of bodybuilding in the States and also out in Europe. Charlie, I hate to bring it up, but we'll talk about your pals, and just as normal, when they soak you in a little bit, then all of a sudden push back. It wasn't even competitive yesterday, to be honest with you. The score is no indication how this team sort of spit the bit. Did not play well early on, and it just was a gradual buildup into the second quarter. They made a little bit of a run with things in the third, but not much of one that would have really kind of pressed the envelope here. So now you really were trying to avoid this, the play-in tournament. You were trying to avoid it at all cost, but yet now you're in it, and who you face, a team that you don't match up well against. And to be honest with you, they stuck in your head, and that's the Lakers. So it's kind of the worst-case scenario of who you have to play. They don't have any fear of you at this point.
If anything, it's the other way around.
Right? And I think now it's in your head. We've had difficulties matching up against the Lakers.
Yeah, and I mean, matchups are a thing in the NBA. Some teams match up better against others. In the Lakers' front court, the Pelicans clearly could not match up against them. Just looking at some stats, the play-in Pelicans are back, everybody. And it's really unfortunate that we have to be so dour about a team that won 49 games. Because if you look at them in the total NBA standings, they're right up there with some of the best teams. It's just that they're in the Western Conference.
Road record.
They had a fantastic
crazy
road record. They won 49 games. So let's just kind of put this into perspective here. The road record to the home record is a gigantic gap. And that is unacceptable, really, because had they won some of these tight games at home, like the game against the Spurs, for instance, at the end of that like six-game homestand, that was just a nightmare. Mike, I don't know where to start with this team. Like, you're looking at them as, yes, last year there were 250-win teams in the Western Conference. This year there were six, or five. You almost became the six if you would have won. But you lost a tiebreaker to Phoenix, so now you're sitting at the seventh seed, and now you have to play in the play-in tournament, the dreaded play-in tournament that we kept saying avoid at all costs because of the teams that are in there. You have to play LeBron and the Lakers again. And if yesterday was any kind of a preview of what we're going to see tomorrow night, it's probably not going to go well. And I've seen people say, oh, the Lakers are going to tank that game. They're not going to, they're going to kind of take a dive and let the Pelicans get the seventh seed so that they can play the Denver Nuggets in the first round, who have the two seed in the Western Conference. I don't see that happening. You don't want to risk going into a winner-take-all game. Your season ends on a loss to the winner of the Sacramento Kings and Golden State Warriors in the play-in tournament. So it's just a mess. You're looking at the game yesterday, Mike. The Lakers shot 55.2% from the field. They outscored the Pelicans 68-42 in points in the paint. And, Mike, the one thing that stood out to me and that was talked about in the pressers after the game, the Lakers had 50 points in the paint at halftime. everything was in the paint.
At halftime.
At halftime. The Pelicans had 53 points in the game at halftime. So, you know, they only outscored the Lakers 53-50, and that was just their points in the paint. So the Lakers just stomped them. They came out, Willie Green said it, you heard it in the sports flash, they punched him in the mouth, and the Pelicans just didn't have the backbone to respond.
And Charlie, we've talked about this so many times about matchups, and it's sometimes hard to explain how the Pelicans have matched up so well this year against Sacramento, a really talented young team. That can shoot the rock.
Yeah, the Pelicans.
And yet, they don't match up well against the Lakers. They played so well on the, you know, on the road, and yet, you know, they basically went a 500 team at home.
Yes, the Pelicans, their matchup against Sacramento is a positive one because they have wings to match up with what Sacramento wants to do offensively.
Matchups.
It's all matchups. Like, you have Herb Jones, you have Dyson Daniels, you have Trey Murphy that can give, you know, these shooters for Sacramento problems, and that's why, you know, the Pelicans have played well against them. Meanwhile, the Lakers have killed the Pelicans this year because of their size underneath. All of those baskets in the paint, Mike, they were just killing the Pelicans. Anthony Davis, LeBron James was dishing out dimes the whole time. He was even taking his own drives to the rim. It was just an unfortunate season finale for the Pelicans because it put a dour note on what was such a strong season overall. And now you have to go back to the play-in tournament. I said the play-in Pels are back, and you know that stinks. It's really rough because now even if you do beat the Lakers tomorrow night, you're matched up with the one team you didn't want to see in the first round, and that's the Denver Nuggets. But at the same time, you have to win. You have to get to the playoffs, Mike. You have to get some kind of playoff experience. You can't, like, just take a dive at the Smoothie King Center and hope that you beat Sacramento again or hope that you beat Golden State again. No, that's not what you have to do. You have to try and get that seventh seed and see what you can do against the defending champion Nuggets. But standing in your way, once again, LeBron James and the Lakers, it's like the boogeyman the Pelicans can't get off their backs.
The other thing, too, is, man, you know, we get them texts or phone calls about, man, the fans into it. No, they were ready to get into it. But you got to give them something to get into. Yesterday, from start to finish, basically this team just, they weren't sort of focused in on what the task was at hand, and the fans were ready. They were hyped up about this game, and they were ready to cheer them on. Now, again, every time they play the Lakers or the Celtics, they got a lot of Lakers and Celtics fans there. And, hey, listen, whatever.
No, I mean, it wasn't.
But come on. You can't say this was because of the crowd.
No.
It's because of the team. They didn't respond at a crucial point.
I mean, you're right. It wasn't the crowd. You see all these tweets from these beat writers covering the team at the Smoothie King Center. Oh, yeah, it is buzzing in here. People are fired up, ready to go. And this isn't the first time. We've talked about this multiple times over the last few months, Mike. They have a good road trip. They get the team excited. They kind of, once again, they pull you back in, and then they lay an egg. And this was the biggest egg that they've laid all season, given the circumstances. You could have had your second 50-win season. You could have made it to the postseason and be playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who were the team that we wanted to be seeing. Instead, now you have to beat the Lakers again just to get the Denver Nuggets. It is such a bad situation. And they can only blame themselves. They laid an egg. Just call a spade a spade. They came back home off a four-game winning streak. Everyone in the city's feeling good about them, and they lose to the hated L.A. Lakers, Mike. And they don't even lose. They get dominated. They get blown out.
Again.
It was a bad showing.
The final score was no indication of the dominance of the Lakers. And it was from the get-go.
I think
from
the get-go. I mean, I could be wrong. I think it was like a 16-point final. But they were up by 32 points at one point, Mike, in a must-win game to get to the postseason. And now you're in another must-win game. So, I don't know, Mike. Something's got to change within those 48 hours. I'm so disappointed. There's no other word for it.
I can tell, Charlie. I got that text message, and I just knew. Hey, we want to tell everybody, the NFL draft is just 10 days away, and you can hear all that coverage right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be having basically all-night coverage Thursday, all-night coverage Friday, all-day coverage Saturday, but it starts on our draft preview at 4 o'clock Thursday. Deuce McAllister, Mike Hoss, they'll be at the Saints camp, and they'll have interviews with head coach Dennis Allen, executive vice president, general manager Mickey Loomis, Clint Kubiak, Joe Woods, Darren Rizzi, Jeff Arlen, the director of college personnel, director of player personnel, and he's from the on the Bayou, Mike Parrington, along with other of the assistant coaches that'll be there. Hey, it's must listen to radio, and it starts Thursday at 4 o'clock right here on the Big 870. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister at Saints facilities, and then at 6 o'clock it'll be Steve Geller and I, and then we'll get joined later by Deuce and Hoss. We'll take care of you through the entire round one of the NFL draft, and you can hear it live right here on the Big 870 WWL AMFM.com and free on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we'll have with us new Saints wide receiver Equanimeous Brown with us, Equanimeous St. Brown, I should say, right after these messages on the Big 870 WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, newest member of the New Orleans Saints, wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown. Equanimeous, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, no problem.
Man, this isn't a football question, but I throw it at you because I'm a little up in age. I remember your dad participating in these bodybuilding contests. Okay, back then, you know, it was just the cable networks were cranking up, and so they were able to show a lot of this. And your dad was one of the first, say, bodybuilders, big-time bodybuilders from the United States, and also he made it big out in Europe also. So, you know, a lot of times you have pressure. Maybe it's a brother, and you got that part too. Your brother, Monron St. Brown, also outstanding receiver now, was at USC and then now with the Detroit Lions. But how was it with your dad? Because I know he played football for a little while and then got into the bodybuilding circuit later. So kind of a little bit about having that all in your family.
Well, yeah, so my dad played football in high school, but he didn't really know how to make it. You know, he wanted to be a professional athlete in some sorts. He didn't really know how to make it to college or the NFL growing up in Compton. So he decided to change to bodybuilding because someone told him he can make it. He has the physique for it. And, you know, he doesn't have to rely on teammates, coaches. He could just do it on his own. So he decided to switch over to bodybuilding. And, yeah, he ended up making it. But he really wanted to play football. That was his dream. So when he had three sons, you know, he kind of asked us what do we want to play. Obviously, we wanted to play football because that was like the most popular sport when we were kids. And then he helped us, you know, achieve our dreams.
He was big in the workout part with you also, and also your brothers, correct?
Yes. Yes, we started lifting weights around like 5-6 years old.
Wow. That, see, back then, that wasn't looked at the same as it is today. We see a lot more of that. Equanimeous, tell us a little bit about the connection between you and the Saints, why you signed here with the Saints, or you with the Packers and then with the Bears. But the connection certainly with a coach, and we see it a lot of times. Free agent pickup, certainly money has something to do with it. But there's always kind of a connected dot with a coach.
Yeah, so my agent had told me that Coach Junoco had reached out and told the team that he thinks I'd be a great fit here. This is like midway through free agency, so we're kind of waiting for a first wave to pass by and then look at where players go, coaches go, you know, coaching changes, things like that, of that nature. So Coach Junoco had told the team, reached out to my agent, and then off bat, Saints were high on my list. Just because, you know, it's important for a team to want you there. And that's very important, you know. You don't want to go somewhere you're not wanted. So I seen that there was an opportunity for me to come here and make plays and help the team win. So I think this is best for my future, and I think it's going to be a good deal for the Saints as well.
Quindemius, I think one of the things with you, everybody's got a niche in this league that they do really well. You're a big target receiver. You go over the middle. You give great effort. That was one of the things. I remember when you came out for the draft, I was piecing my draft book together, and it was that, hey, he gives great effort. The one thing he's going to do for you, he's going to block down for you. He's going to give you great effort. And so that's a hole here without Michael Thomas to have that piece of the puzzle that you could help fill.
Well, yeah, that's just how I attack anything I take serious in life. I always give it 100%. So, I mean, as a receiver, you only get so many targets a game. So for most of the game, you're not getting the ball thrown to you. So, but you're still on the field, and, you know, offensive plays are being ran. So especially in this kind of scheme or the scheme I've been in the past years, the receivers have a big role in the run game to help, you know, set up runs, and not only that, but also play action passes, play passes. So, I just – whenever I'm on the field, I just, you know, do the best what I can do in either passing, the pass game or the run game.
The other part of it, too, is I think the kind of connection with the quarterback, and that sometimes takes a little while where you got to be on the same page. How much contact have you had with Derek Carr? No OTAs are cranked up. And so kind of give us a little bit of a rundown of since signing. Have you talked to Carr or Clint Kubiak?
No, I mean, I just signed, what was it, Friday? I just got here. So I seen him today, talked to him for a little bit. But before that, no, I have not had much contact with him at all, I would say.
What is – if you're looking at it from a scout standpoint, tell everybody what's your greatest strength as a player.
I'll say I'm a playmaker. No matter what situation I'm in, I find a way to make plays. I've always been like that since I was a kid. So, and I would say I'm very intelligent. You know, I can pick up things quick, play all the positions, read coverages. I would say I'm very intelligent as a football player.
Okay, he's not listening, but we are the flagship station of LSU, so you got to give us a little bit of a background here on Brian Kelly. Okay, he's at LSU now, so yeah. Your time with Coach Kelly at Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, Coach Kelly's my guy. I really liked him. He recruited me out of high school. You know, came to my house two or three times. Gave my brother – he wanted me to come there so bad. He gave my brother scholarships, really even played varsity football. I got there, you know. He always showed me love, and, you know, I played hard. And, you know, he's one of my favorite head coaches I've had, you know, since I started playing football. And I'm sad to see him go, but, you know, he's been there for a long time. He's given a lot to Notre Dame. And, you know, he's moving on, trying to, you know, do something different. So,
everybody,
yeah, I love Coach Kelly.
Everybody talks about pressure. Okay, you're playing in the SEC. Man, you had pressure every week. Okay, you nobody's homecoming game when you play at Notre Dame. I mean, everybody's gunning for you, that past history and what's happened and everything. That thought when you first hit that field in South Bend.
Yeah, so it's just a different environment, I would say, Notre Dame compared to a lot of schools I played at. I know when I was playing, every game was sold out. Fans were going crazy. And no matter what team we played, it was there. A lot of teams came and gave it all every single time they came to Notre Dame. They're like, we got to beat Notre Dame at home. So no matter what team we faced, you know, they were going to bring out all the tricks and, you know, give their best every time. It was just always a fun time playing in South Bend at Notre Dame.
Equanimeous, before I get to another question about the NFL, I want to stay in college real quick. Do you have any stories about Coach Kelly that you could share from your time at Notre Dame?
A long time ago. Not off the top of my head. I was thinking about it for a minute, probably.
Yeah, okay, I'll come back to it.
Top of my head, Yeah.
Yeah, so 7 years in the NFL, I just want to get your thoughts. You know, what have you learned about yourself from your time with Green Bay? You were drafted there in 2018 as a sixth-round pick, and then also spent a couple years in Chicago as well, a lot of your time in the NFC North here. So what have you learned about your time as an NFL player?
I'd say I'm a real. I think I realized that, you know, I'm a professional at my craft. I take it serious. Going throughout the years, seeing people, you know, without the league, it's not easy to stay in the league. That's for sure. You have to take it serious, and you got to be disciplined. You can't just you know, like it or love it. You got to be disciplined in your craft, and don't skip days, don't skip training sessions. And that's the only way you could make it or stay in the league for a long time. So I realized, I think, now that I've proven myself that I'm a professional and I got what it takes to, you know, make it.
Equanimeous, one of the things is, with your brother playing in the NFL, do you guys work out in the off season together?
Yeah, we do everything together. So
okay.
Once his rookie off season happened, because when he came in from comp, he obviously – going into the rookie year, he has combine training. I wasn't doing that. But after his rookie season, we do all our receiver stuff together and weight training and speed together.
In the thought of the options that you had in free agency, were there other teams that were trying to sell you sort of the same thing as the Saints about the fit being right for you? Because I think in a lot of cases you know, that's just a handful of guys that come out each and every year, no matter where they go. The results are the same. So much of it, and people don't get it, is the right fit, the right scheme, the right offense, the right quarterback, and how much that plays into your production. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, so I would say it's unfortunate for a lot of players in the NFL, I would say, me going through years, I've seen players come from different teams that didn't do well, didn't get an opportunity, and go to a different team and blossom, and, you know, really their career takes off. So sometimes it is, you know, the right fit for a certain type of player or a right coach that sees the player's potential. So sometimes some players are unfortunate. Sometimes players are fortunate. That's just the way life goes sometimes. But it definitely helps that it definitely helps what scheme you're in, what kind of coaching staff you have, and where you're at, you know, in your career to really make a difference. So that definitely does help.
Did you watch film of one particular person that you tried to maybe look at and say, I want to be that type player, or maybe a couple guys that you would watch, if it's television or film, and say, that's who I want to be, someone like him?
I want to say one player. When they give us iPads, they usually do it, or we could ask for, like, the targets of the, you know, top 10 receivers in the league. And I just look at all of them sometimes just to see what – because you could pick up things from different receivers. You don't just want to copy one guy, because maybe one guy is good at one thing, not the other. But you just want to see what every receiver has different techniques, different skill sets. So you just try to do your best to, you know, be an all-around receiver and pick up as many good habits as you can.
Well, Equanimeous, welcome to New Orleans. This is a very passionate city, a very passionate fan base, and we'll do the same thing with you as we've done with every other new Saints player. Give the fans a who dat.
Who dat?
Equanimeous, man, best of luck to you. It'll be great to see you in the Saints uniform, and it's passing by real fast.
Yes.
Next thing you know, it'll be training camp out in California, and then you'll get to hear the most passionate fans in the NFL.
You know it.
These people here, they love their Saints. And so you love them, they love you back.
Yeah, I will for sure.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All righty. New Saints wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown, a former Notre Dame star player, and he's went in the NFL with the Packers and with the Bears, and man, he's a big target guy, Charlie. And that's what you're looking for. I mean, everybody has a certain fit in this league, and I think he could fit that mold. You got to get on the same target as Carr now, because I think that's important too with your quarterback. But I think he's got an opportunity, and I think it's a good fit pickup for the Saints. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Want to answer one of the texters ask about, we'll be on location and we'll give you all that information. Thursday night we'll be at Las Cruces Tex-Mex Restaurant in Metairie for day one of the draft, and then day two it'll be Hooters in Metairie. So it'll be Deuce, Mike Hoss, myself, Steve Geller, Charlie, everybody, all involved. One guy won't, and that's Bobby J. He got something real important to do that weekend. Bo, his youngest son, is getting married. So for the first time since 2004, Bobby J. and I won't be doing draft coverage. He got something a little bit more important. So want to wish Bo and his soon-to-be wife all the best along with the families with it. But Bob won't be involved this year with the draft. Got something a little bit more important in life. His son, Bo's getting married. So over the next 10 days, he's got some details to take care of. So let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Marty in Gulfport. Marty, in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call, guys. I hope this isn't a silly question, but I just want to know something. Why can't a team, or particularly our team, the Saints, why can't they, when you got a kid like Haener and a kid that they may draft in the late rounds, why can't they get a quarterback coach to work with those guys rather than, as they say, learn from our quarterback? Because I'm not going to knock Derek Carr on this phone call, but he don't strike me as the kind of guy that – you know, can take someone under his wing and really teach him a certain way. Is that, you get me?
Yeah, I get you, Marty. That's why they hired Janoku as the quarterback coach.
Yep.
And bring in Clint Kubiak as your new offensive coordinator. That's the reasoning behind that. If you don't develop the quarterback position, you're in trouble in this league. Okay, they only got a handful of guys that can carry a team, four or five, at the very most in this league. The rest of the guys, come on, you need a lot of help. And even the five that are elite, they need help too. But they can get, you know, they can put the eraser. They can erase a lot of ills. But that's why you bring in a Janoku as your quarterback coach and Clint Kubiak as your new offensive coordinator.
Is Janoku, is he new? I'm sorry.
He's new.
Yeah, Marty, Janoku recently worked with the Bears for a couple of years. He was also with Minnesota. There's that connection with Kubiak. He was there when Kubiak was the OC back in 2021. So there's a clear connection, the reason why he brought him on the offensive staff when he was hired a few weeks back. So, yeah, no, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback coach, a lot of new faces in the offensive staff.
Yeah, and so but a lot of Minnesota connections. Marty, I'm going to tell you that, man, there's a lot of Minnesota connected dots with offensive line, new offensive line coaches and that sort of thing, along with Janoku at the quarterback coach and certainly the big piece, Clint Kubiak, as your new offensive coordinator.
I appreciate the explanation very much, and I feel a little better that at least I wasn't far off the same page.
I agree with you. Listen, coaching matters in this league. It really matters. Again, there are five or six guys that are at that highest level, but they need the coaching part too. And also you developing other people, because you never know what happens if your quarterback gets knocked out. Look what happened in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow goes down. And what happened there? You had to turn to your second-string quarterback.
Janoku had to deal with it last year, Mike, with Chicago. When Justin Fields went down, he had to go to Tyson Bagent, this undrafted kid out of Shepherd College. And, I mean, we saw him play against the Saints and what he did. So, yeah, Janoku is the new quarterback coach here, Mike. I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other about him. Like, you look at the quarterbacks that he's worked with, most recently, obviously, Kirk Cousins and Justin Fields. With Minnesota and Chicago, but as you mentioned, Mike, there's only a handful of quarterbacks in this league that can really carry an offense and carry a team.
Yeah, and we see it each and every year. Everybody's looking for one. That's where the first three picks in this draft are going to be quarterbacks, and quite possibly the first four picks in the draft. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Philip in Metairie. Philip, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Mike, Charlie, how y'all doing?
All right,
Mike, I want to address, I guess, to the fans. You know, y'all just interviewed Equinese. We're going to have to nickname him Big East. I thought the same thing.
It's Equanimeous St. Brown. But I thought Big E, too. Because if you see him, he's no small receiver by any stretch of the imagination. You know, he's a big target in.
But when we signed him, now I watched him at Notre Dame. You know, when he played, you know, I kind of followed Notre Dame. And as I say, when the Saints signed him, people, a lot of the fans hating on him because he wasn't, I guess, a well-known name or a sexy name or whatever. You know, and the first thing I thought of, a lot of our fans, we signed somebody, hey, let's see what we got. The first person I thought of, not recently, but some years ago, when we signed Demario Davis. Oh, you should have seen the fan, you know. Who is this guy here? Why are we wasting money on this? They didn't even know who he was, and look how he turned out to be.
So, I think, a lot of times people don't like to admit this, even in the football world. Fit does matter. And I think it was a great fit with Demario coming to the Saints. It was the right team, right situation, right moment in time. He did it a little bit later in his career than most guys. Most of the time you've hit it by then. With Demario was a little bit later. I know one thing, Greg Williams loved him because he had him for a while. And he told me, Mike, he is super smart. He can do it across the board. It hasn't quite fit with him. But yet when he got to the Saints, it fit. And a lot of times it's the same thing on draft day. You got four or five guys that all would play the same way no matter where you end up. The rest of the guys, it has to do with scheme, fit, coaching. And especially at the most important position, quarterback.
I think a lot of the kind of heat, I don't even want to say heat coming on Equanimeous St. Brown signing here, was the fact that he got number 13 and there was all that offseason drama with Michael Thomas. I think it's all about nothing. Like, you know, it is what it is type of thing. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried what Equanimeous St. Brown can provide to the team. I'm not worried about a guy that's not on the roster anymore, Mike. So
yeah,
I thought that was kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's sort of move on.
Yeah, exactly.
That. Hey, listen, thank Mike for everything he did for this organization. He was a tremendous player. When he was healthy, he was one of the best in the NFL. But you could see it had come to that point where injuries, age, and just not to connect the dots anymore with the coaching staff and him, and you had to move on. And that does happen in this league, not just with the Saints, with 31 other NFL teams too. Want to tell everybody, hey, if you're ready to go to the biggest ever Jazz Fest, experience the music, food, and culture of Louisiana, plus great artists like Chris Stapleton, John Batiste, The Killers, the Robert Cray Band, Heart, Rebirth Brass Band, and more. Listen to Tommy Tucker, Newell Norman, Scoot, and us here on Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest Password of the Day. Then go to WWL.com/contest and register to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest. And this is really important. Plus, a round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle passes. Hey, that's pretty important, too. So, happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. When we come back, I'll give you our password of the day right here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on our number one of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Hey, you ready to go party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is Cajun. That's Cajun. We'll figure that one out. C-A-J-U-N. Cajun.
Fitting.
Now go to WWL.com/contest. You enter that word, Cajuns, and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle passes. WWL is giving away a pair every day this week. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, Newell, Scoot, or us here on Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest Password of the Day to see amazing artists like Chris Stapleton, John Batiste, The Killers, the Robert Cray Band, Heart, Rebirth Brass Band, and more. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. I want to congratulate young man from Amit High School, goes to Alabama and wins a Heisman Trophy.
Got himself paid, Mike.
He got paid 3 years, $75 million extension. But here's the best part. $51 million guaranteed.
Congratulations to Devontae Smith.
Man, first time I saw him, he's 152 pounds coming out of our camp. Man, I'm saying, how can he hold up? He said, all they got to do is throw it to me, coach.
He just cooked. He cooked defensive backs.
He was something else. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.